Okay, so we have here a, I want to say a complicated shmooze. It's a long shmooze, meaning we have a shmooze and a shmooze and a shmooze, right? We start out with a first shmooze, which is relatively simple. I think I said it before, so if you heard it already, I'm sorry. It's a very sadistic shmooze. Then a second shmooze, which I don't think I ever said before. And they'll use those two shmuzim as a koyach hatzir for the third shmuz, which I'm not really sure about, but I think it's a big chiddush. And then, assuming that we get away with that, then I'd like to read this fascinating sefer Minchas Yehuda, which is something I picked up in Eretz Yisrael in the used bookstore, because they only there you can get certain svarim that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. I bought this years ago. It's about 100 years old. I have no idea what he's saying, but it sounds very yesidistic. It seems to connect to the third shmooze. Okay, first start with the first shmooze. The first shmooze is very simple and very yesidistic. It says in the Pasuk that right after Hashem goes ahead and gives Yaakov the nevuah, he sees the, you know, the ladder, the Suda Mutzav Arza, and he gets the Haftachas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Pasuk says that Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. So Rashi is Medayik, but that seems to be an extra Pasuk. And what does it mean, Vayisa? So Rashi says, I just get the Pasuk, Rashi. So Rashi says, what is Minis Vaser Besura Taiva? Once there's a Hemshach that it says he went, Vayisa Raglav, then he went to B'nai Kedem, which is apparently to Charan, and there he met Rachel. So Rashi said, Mishnas Baser Besura Taiva, once he heard this good news, Shehuvdecha B'Shmira, that he was promised a Shmira, Nasa Libo as Raglav, his heart picked up his feet, V'Nasa Kala Lachas. It was easier for him to go. In other words, Rashi's learning by Yisrael Yaakov Raglav that there's a Hemshah, but till now, Yaakov wasn't able to go as fast, as easy, but now, because he had this haftacha, he was able, he went faster, easier, was easier, Rashi says easier. Now his heart picked up his feet and he went, B'nasa Kal, was easier for him to go. So, a very simple question here, you know, there's here, is that Yaakov Avinu, we assume, is the happiest person in the world. Yaakov Avinu is the Bechir Sheba Aviz. He's already, he's not a youngster, he's in his, I think, 60s at this point. He's already, goes ahead, he spent 14 years in Shein Ve'Aver. He's a Gadol Hador, right? He's a Gadol Hador in Ruchnias, and he's going ahead and he's on his, going to fulfill his parents' Savah, to find the shidduch. We assume that he's quite happy. He's going to Dvar Mitzvah. He's just finished learning. He finished his 14 years. He accomplished amazing things, right? He's mamish, I did it. You know, I went 14 years without sleeping, without eating, you know, it's tremendous mitzvah nefesh. Now I'm ready to take on the next challenge in life. He's full of excitement, right? Who could Yaakov Avinu? But comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu and gives him a nevuah. Okay, very nice nevuah. And in the nevuah, there's a haftacha that Hashem's going to watch over him. So what does that do? Makes him go from the happiest person in the world to the happiest. Now, the little extra happiness. Right? He was already happy. Wasn't that he was depressed before. He was super happy before. But now he's even happier. Okay, so what? So why does that cause... Rashi doesn't sound like it's a mystical. It sounds like it's a natural thing. Why does that cause you to go easier? Bishlama, if you're depressed. So that I understand. A guy who's depressed, he drags his feet. So you take a guy who's depressed, and he's dragging his feet, and you cheer him up, so he'll go faster, be easier. Kaladachas. But you take a guy who's super happy. He's the happiest guy in the world. He has the midas of, that most people are not happy because they wrote that they have 100, they want more. Yaakov Avinu doesn't not interested in Gashmis. He's the happiest person. He has Ruchnias. What could he want more? So is there any of the happiest person in the world? So you give him a little more happiness. Okay, you give him a lot more happiness. But why should that make a difference? He's not depressed. He's working. He's going with a he's going to Shein mitzvah. He's going to Shein to accomplish. He wants to get a shidduch. He's moving. He's obviously he's motivated. He's driven. Who could be more inspired than Yaakov Avinu? More driven. He's going to fulfill his parents' shivu. He's going to mekayim mitzvahs pruvu. He's going to build shiftei kah. He's motivated and driven. Oh, you give him a little extra happiness or a lot of extra happiness, whatever it is. Now he's kalal achas. So when you see a basic yisayin, it's like eidah dvarim shein hamshir, that you can always be, no matter how happy a person is, he can become happier. Okay, that's probably pashut. But the chiddush is that every degree of happiness interprets, causes, brings about a change in the person's physical body. Person can walk faster, it's easier, he can think clearer. His body works better. When a person is happier, even if you're the happiest guy in the world, if you're going to be happier, you'll be better. The body, somehow, there's a direct correlation. It's not just that depression holds you back. Happiness somehow infuses a person with energy. Okay. So that, I think that's an old schmooze. I think guys heard that already. So that is, but it's a very, very sadistic thing that a person has to be happy. The happier we are, the more we accomplish. It's not, if you want to succeed in yeshiva, you got to be happy. You have to work on being happy, because happiness allows the brain to work, the body to work. You need less sleep when you're happy. You need less anything. You can be more energetic. Okay, that's the first shmooze. Okay. Now we move on to the second shmooze. Totally unrelated, seemingly. We have a pasuk that when Yaakov meets Rachel, pasuk Yud Aleph, v'yishak Yaakov to Rachel, v'yisav koda v'yev. So Yaakov meets Rachel, he gives her a kiss, and then he cries. Strange pasuk. Yaakov the Chayra is not a wimp. Is he crying? So Rashi says a pshat, v'vish esipa beruach hakodesh shein niknasei madekfura. The reason why he cried is he had a disappointment, because he somehow saw now that she's not going to be buried with her. He's not going to be buried. Meaning not that he won't be buried. He'll be buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah. But Rachel is in Kever Rachel. Will not be buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah. So they won't be together in the Kfura, whatever that means. And therefore he was disappointed, so he cried. Dover Acher, a second shot. If he should be a dime reconius, he came empty-handed. Amar Eliezer, Evel Avi Avram, Hayabiyadin, his ominous medium, the goddess. When Eliezer went to get a shidduch, he had so much wealth. Ani ain't biyadi klum. Why not? I had no money. The fisher rode the Eliphaz ben Esav, Mitzasoviv, Achrov, the Hargo Sigo. So Eliphaz wanted to kill Yaakov because of Esav Sivoy. Fisher goes to Eliphaz ben Esav, Becheko Shal Yitzchak, Moshach Yado. But because Yitzchak raised him, so he didn't do it. Amr Amasa Siva Shahabas, they said, what can I do to fulfill the mitzvah? Amr Yaakov Tuma Shabiyadi Vanikhashiv Kimeis. Okay, so Eliphaz took all of Yaakov's money. That's a different story whether Eliphaz was right, Eliphaz was wrong, all kinds of different shatim. Pashas Eliphaz was wrong. Pashas Eliphaz was a Russia for doing that, but the Maisa, he did not kill Yaakov. And instead he took all his money. So Yaakov now was penniless, so he was crying. Which is interesting, Stam and Pashat, because he wasn't crying because he didn't have money. Otherwise, he would have cried when Eliphaz took the money. That was 14 years ago, right? That was when he's going to the Sheva Aver. Eliphaz took the money. Pashat, the money, he didn't care about losing the money. But he was upset that he was going now for the Shidduch. And he realized that when Eliezer went for the Shidduch, he had the money. Now, how's he going to get his Shidduch? He doesn't have the money. I'll be Derech HaTeva. It'll be hard to get the shidduch. So he's crying, not because he lost the money. That's why he's only crying when he meets Rachel. He's crying because he doesn't know how he's going to get the shidduch. Okay. That's that pshat. The Sipporno says a different pshat. That's on the bottom. It should have been written in Sipporno. He cried. He cried because he didn't get to marry her sooner. If he married her sooner, he would have had already children. So he realized that I missed out. Obviously, okay, that's the pshat. Okay, so let's first do the Sisei Achamim. Sisei Achamim is bothered by an interesting question. I don't exactly know what the question is, but he's bothered by why do we have two pshatim in Rashi, right? Those in my share, and the more Ian, they can appreciate it. So he says, what's each pshat has something wrong with it. I don't know why, but okay. He says, if he's a kasha, according to the first pshat, it's fair. The first pshat in Rashi is that Yaakov cried because he saw that he wouldn't be buried with her. So the problem, if she would have said to him, if she would have asked him, why are you crying? He couldn't answer to her that he's crying because he saw that she's not going to be buried in Maratha Machbeda, because that's not nice. It's not nice to tell her, because I had a vua that you're going to, when you die, you won't be buried in Maratha Machbeda. It's not shame. You came out Hoshivla, and there's nothing to answer her. Right, which I assume it means that in other words, that the first pshat's fair, because obviously Yaakov's not going to lie, and if he's crying for this, he's stuck. He's putting himself in a situation that he can't tell her the truth, because it's going to hurt her feelings. He can't lie, so how could he cry for this? So that's why Rashi likes the second pshat, that he cried because he didn't have any money. How could he cry for mamon? So therefore, what I assume he's saying, that they're both right, and therefore he cried really, that's why he says, that the second shot's also shver, because it's really not worthy to cry over. But it was a quasi reason, so he could, when Rachel could ask him why you're crying, he could tell her the second reason. In other words, it sounds like what he's saying. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. It sounds like he's learned that the two pshatim go together, but I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, but what Maaseh Sisei Achamim is saying, that if you just had the first shot without the second shot, it wouldn't work out. Why not? Because what is he going to do when she asks him, why are you crying? So I didn't understand the Sisei Achamim. So he was stuck. Okay, he's crying. Right? Yaakov comes in. He sees something which bothers him very much. So he starts to cry. She's like, well, Yaakov, what are you going to do if she asks you, why are you crying? I'm going to be in big trouble. Okay, what do you want from me? Like, what? Why isn't this a good shot? Why he was crying? He had a very good reason to cry, seemingly. According to the first shot, he has a good reason to cry. It's a natural cry. People cry. Yaakov didn't say cry. He cried because he was sad. So he was sad. He has a reason to cry. Now the Sisei Achamim says, but how can you be crying for that reason? What's going to be if Rachel asks you why you're crying? You can't hurt her feelings. It's not shame. It's not nice. So what do you want? So therefore, I shouldn't cry. But I'm crying. Right? So obviously, the answer is yes. Therefore, you shouldn't cry. In other words, Yaakov Avinu, a person, has control over his feelings. Crying is a natural thing when you're sad, but a person can control himself. A person doesn't have to focus. Sadness comes because you're focused on something. Who told you to focus on that? Yaakov Avinu could have very easily, if he wouldn't have had a solution to tell Rachel why he's crying, so then he wouldn't cry. Because he would not, why wouldn't he cry? He's crying is because he's upset. Shabbos, he wouldn't get upset. Which means that Yaakov Avinu had the ability, if he so desired, not to get upset. It wasn't shot that he was stuck. It was a psikresha. He couldn't help himself. Something happened. Someone stepped on his toe, and it hurt, so he started to cry. I can't help myself. He was totally in control, because if his seichel told him it's the wrong thing to cry because it's going to hurt Rachel's feelings, then he wouldn't cry. So he had the ability not to cry. I assume that means not that he could stop the tears, but it could stop the sadness. Tears is natural. Tears come automatically when you're sad. But he could stop himself from being sad. Either the most frustrated way is because he would stop himself from focusing on this point. This is an unhappy point. You don't have to focus on it. You don't have to think about it. So Yaakov Avinu has the ability to stop himself from crying if he felt that crying would hurt Rachel's feelings. But since it wouldn't hurt Rachel's feelings because he has a second answer, therefore he allowed himself to cry. So the Kemaikasha is, if you put the two shmuzim together, so I don't understand. We said before that it's very healthy, important to be happy. When a person is happy, he accomplishes more. His body works better. Your brain works better. If there was Hashem b'simcha, right? It's supposed to be happy. Now we're saying that Yaakov Avinu has the ability, if he so desires, not to be sad. Right? He doesn't have to cry over this. He doesn't have to, if he wants, he doesn't have to think about the right way. Pumped at the time. I mean, the truth is, the whole thing sounds weird. You know, you meet the girl you're going to marry, and you should be so happy. You finally met the girl you're going to marry, and you see that Baruch Hashem, she's a wonderful girl, better than you were expected, obviously. And then you realize that in 60, 70, 80 years, whatever, when she's nifter, you won't be buried together. So you start crying. You know, like, I don't know, you know, wow, it's a little manda. What are you, getting, or even the old Pshatim, our mother, the Sipurim of Pshatim, also so manda. He finally meets the person he's supposed to marry, and he's crying, oh, if I would have married her 20 years ago, I would have children already. Like, what are you, driving yourself crazy? But okay, anyway, but the Maisa, the question is, surely, if Yaakov, we see from the Sitzel HaChom, he says b'feirish, that Yaakov Avinu did not have to cry. Yaakov Avinu could have controlled himself not to get upset about these things. He didn't have to think about these things. He didn't have to think about the fact that he's about the Kfura. According to Rashi, he's other pshat. He has to think about Eliezer. Who tells you to think about Eliezer, right? The Rashiv has a shmuz, owes a note that he was learning Musar Bispaitis about Eliezer. Esainai Oharim, that he bidafka went and he thought about Eliezer. And he was, it was Rashiv's famous shmuz of brinkmanship. What is he doing? Why is Yaakov Avinu, it's a Kasha. If we just got finished saying in shmuz number one, that Yaakov Avinu, that it's better to be happy. Happiness gives you so much benefits. And Yaakov Avinu doesn't have to cry. He has, if it would be a slight, I don't know how big of a gam it is to tell Rachel, because I saw in Nevuah that you're going to be buried on the Ramaras Machbeda. I don't really know what that big, but that's not nice. So for a slight gam, for him, Denodim Nechaveiro, he would control his emotions and he wouldn't get sad. So why doesn't he control his emotions and not get sad so that he can be happy? He's supposed to be happy. Mitzvah gedolah lios b'simcha tamid. Everyone knows, right? It's a song. It's a song. It's not a chazal, but it's a song. Okay? So it's a, okay? So it is, it's Rav Nachman Mibreslov. But it's not in the Gemara. It's in the Likutei Maran. Anyway, so the Shaila is, so why was Yaakov trying to get himself sad? So I think there's a very, very big insight here. And I it can be very easily misunderstood, but I think it's a very important insight. That Gufa, if you want to, because Yaakov Avinu wants to be happy, he has to allow himself to be sad too. Because it's the same, it's one machine in the body. There's a machinery that notices. In other words, it sounds here like Yaakov is getting sad about the most ridiculous things. Not ridiculous, but minor things. He's worrying about 100 years from now about the kfura. He's worrying about, oh, I could have, you know, we say, I could have had, you know, you could have had, you know, you should kayach. And then there was a good reason why you didn't have. You were learning, you were doing this. But I could have had children. I could have, you know, I could have had sooner. Okay, you have later. What's the big deal? Or what's going to be with the shidduch? Don't worry, it'll be you'll have the shidduch. But he's worrying about, it sounds like he's getting upset about relatively small things. And pshat seems to be, I think, is that it's a proper hargosha. It's not a chisarin, it's a maida. It's a maida of Yaakov that these things bother him. Because if a tzaddik is a bow hargosha is happier than anyone else. If you're happier than anyone else, you also have to have hargosha to feel slight pain. That's all, it's all one thing. It's all, it's not, you can't go ahead and stifle your hargoshas when it comes to pain and then expect to feel hargoshas when it comes to simcha. You have to train yourself to be a bow hargosha. If I'm a bow hargosha, I feel everything. In the now, obviously, I only feel things that are important. Yaakov didn't feel sad when Eliphaz took his money because who cares? Money is not important. You have to have the right hashkafas. The only things that bother him is ruchnias. The fact that Rachel won't be buried with him, that he might have trouble getting the shidduch, okay, that makes him sad. So I'm not saying he's supposed to be sad about things that you shouldn't be sad about, but things that there is some basis to be sad. According to Hashkafas HaTorah, yeah, it is a loss. You did lose something. You lost Rachel and the Marat HaMachpeda, whatever that means. So there is, but so you're supposed to allow yourself. You're supposed to almost like learn Musar B'Spaydus to feel the pain because that makes you into a Bau Hargosha. That's good. It's a good thing. Yaakov could have very, very easily not cried. He could have very easily not thought about these chisrainis. But then, Gufa, if he would have done that, he would be a less happy person. Because it's a natural thing. Do you notice things or don't you notice things? Are you a Bau Hargosha or are you not a Bau Hargosha? Person who's a tzaddik is a Bau Hargosha. So he feels everything. When I once saw in a sefer, I have here a sefer, Minchas Yehuda, he sort of says it, he doesn't say it exactly. I think I saw it somewhere else also said the same thing. There's this famous gra. There's this famous gra that says that a tzaddik enjoys, gets all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh more than a rasha does. Right? It's a famous gra. The tzaddik enjoys Olam Hazeh more than a rasha. He enjoys his food more. He enjoys everything more. So the pshat is, I think someone once said this pshat, because a tzaddik's a bau hargosha. So a tzaddik's a bau hargosha, so he enjoys, when he's supposed to enjoy it, he enjoys it. It's a mitzvah to enjoy your Shabbos meal. Ah, geschmack, it's delicious. He gets much more pleasure than the bau taiva gets, because he developed his sensitivities. He developed his hargosha. In order to be a proper tzaddik, you have to be a bau margish. You're not supposed to be deaded. You're not supposed to be a someone with no feelings. A person has to have feelings. Feelings is what motivates you to serve Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem and caring about Ben Adam Lechaveiro. Feelings are a necessity. So a tzaddik, it's all the same. So a tzaddik has more feelings when he eats a piece of kugel on Shabbos. He gets more feelings of that too. This is it. Anyway, if you look here, I don't know if we can read the Hebrew. There's a sefer Minchas Yehuda. Let's see if we can read it. He sort of says this. Pam echa sholi echad min hamon. It's ois hey. Okay, I don't know who this is. It has a haskamra of Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld. It was printed 90 years ago. So, okay, I assume it's Chashev sefer. I'm sure it's a Chashev sefer. First piece he quotes about Shem Tov, so maybe it's Chassidish a little bit. I don't know, but I'm sure it's still good. No, it's not just, it's for sure it's good. Okay. Pam hakashod o'echa min amon am. Shali, someone asked me, Asher betchilas yalduso yalome b'yeshiva. This person used to learn in yeshiva. For Yedea Sefer. And he used to know, he was a person learned. V'achar kach nispaker, right? And then he became hefker, right? Which means that it can happen. A guy can learn yeshiva and he can go off the derech. V'sho'osi. He asked me the following question. Halo u yabin our notion besudas. He speaks to women. He talks to them, and he sits with them. He doesn't enjoy it, he doesn't have any desire, nothing. It's all the same, it's like nothing. How is it? Here, he's a guy. You know, yeshiva guys, they talk so much about being worried about tithes and hearer. And here he's a lowlife. Used to be a yeshiva guy, now he's a lowlife. Nothing. He can go to the beach. Nothing. Goes, you know, doesn't have any divers, no ehurim, no nothing. Hakol Shabbos etzlo. Right? So Amarti lo. So I told him, Moshe, it's a Moshe. Keep it machat. If you take a needle, im doikrim b'basar chai, if you stick it in a live skin, die with the kira achas ketana. It's enough, a little poking in a live skin of saradana. The guy feels it. Afino below kol chosek, who margish taketh, kevat the kira. Even without just a small pick, without even strength, the skin is alive, the person will feel it. Avon mipatish of. But if you're using a partish of means a not a needle, but a hammer, which is fat. Sirda hakos because you have to hit hard. Achiyargish akay, so he feels it. Cain, eight so hanoshim gashmin, the people that became physical. Ayadeshu rogel tamid the matter savos of echeshko, since he always used to fulfilling his tithes. Take it from miyad kishubodav, as soon as he gets a taiva, umargishal, so he begins to feel it, kidei the pultriman. In other words, a person has no ability of self-control. So whenever he gets a taiva, he has a need, I must fulfill it. Kidei liyos tamid sovim in ataivis, he always has to be satisfied with his taivis. Feniklus hargoshes harav, he can't stand the feeling hungry that he has a taiva he can't fulfill. He's doing it maybe to satisfy his taiva, or more that he just feels that it he can't live like this. It's going to be unhealthy for him because he can't live without satisfying, without feeling a need. But if the truth is, if he would realize that these are gushes from Hashem, kidei lachonkol, to train him, or argidol, to get him used to, bahargosha, to get him used to feelings, sheyargish bidvarim dakin, viruchnim, that he could feel slight things. V'kol mashu kovesh es argoshav, the more that he's kovesh his yetzer, miblidem loso, without fulfilling it, midavar gashmi, ozu mechanech es argosha, so he's training himself, the hargish gam bedvarim dakim. He's saying basically that the person that whenever he has a taiva, he fulfills it. So he somehow doesn't. He trains himself not to have feelings because he never has a feelings. Anytime he has a feeling, he can't stand the thought of having a feeling, a taiva, an emotion. It gets him nervous. He can't hold it. So he has to fulfill it. And then once he fulfills it, he has no taiva. So he walks around all life without feelings, right? Because the moment he gets a taiva, he quickly fulfills it, and then he's left with no taiva anymore. So he trains himself to go ahead and never have feelings, because he's afraid of feelings. He's afraid that the feelings he can't exist with a need of a feeling. So therefore, the end result is that he loses his sensitivity to feelings. While the tzaddik, because he lives with the feeling, so he learns to have more feelings. That's what he says. The more you live with a feeling, the more you learn to be more sensitive. So, and he says this later, that's Pshat, called Godo Mechaveh Yitzra Godo Menu. In other words, the fact that a person has a bigger taiva, according to him, is not, he learned this al biderech hateva, not as we always learn Godo Mechaveh Yitzra Godo, it's some mystical thing. He's saying it's some logical thing, that the person, because he controls his taivas, so he lives with taivas, so he becomes a more sensitive person. So it's natural that he'll feel even a little taiva, he'll feel, because he lives with taivas. But the other person doesn't live with a taiva. He can't stand living with a taiva. He can't hold in. You know, if I have a taiva, I have to immediately give it in. So at some point, he loses the ability to have a taiva. So then, therefore, he doesn't feel taivas. Either he feels a taiva, he has to give it, or he can't feel it. But he can't have a the middle ground of living with a taiva. I don't fully comprehend it, I have to admit, but it's a fascinating thing. What he's saying is that by a tzaddik has more taivas, is more hargashas, more feelings. It's somewhat similar to what we're saying, very similar. That it's a healthy thing to allow yourself to feel things, even if it's to feel things of not kosher thing, but the feeling. I feel it. I'm a human being with feelings. A tzaddik feels a desire for a taiva, even for a talking about taiva's isurim. That's a healthy thing. That means he's alive. He's a bal chai. He'll feel everything. And he has the ability to function with feelings. And so what? He doesn't have the need to give in to every feeling, but the feeling is there. And therefore, when he does indulge in a taiva, he enjoys it more because he gets all the feelings. He has it. While the Rasha, he can't live with the fact that he has taivas. The moment a little taiva comes, he right away satisfies it because he doesn't want to be left with a hargosha of a taiva. So what he ends up doing is he trains himself not to have feelings. And therefore, he becomes like a dead person. So the fact that Einachinami, he's not, sometimes certain Averis don't tempt him either, but it's not from Godless, it's from Katniss. He's not tempted from Averis because he destroyed his sensitivity. And there's a sensitivity to enjoy pleasures of this world too. So it comes out. I think it's a very, I'm not exactly sure the Hesber, you have to read it more carefully, you have to read the whole thing, but it's a very sadistic thing, I think. The point is that it's important to be happy. It's very, very important to be happy. The way of being happy is being noticing the good and realizing that many things that we think are bad are trivial, that Yaakov lost his money. Till he got to this point, he didn't care. It's trivial. Okay, it's just money. You know, to have to realize that makes people happy, and happiness gives you energy. But part of when a person is happy and a person has the right hargoshes, a person is tzaddik, he feels everything more. Einachinami, sometimes it'll mean he'll be sadder and something bad. Those few times that something bad happens, he'll feel it more. But in the totality, it means that he's a living thing. He's like his example of a basar chai. So that when he enjoys life, when he eats a piece of food that tastes good, he'll enjoy it more. When he goes, has a pleasure in life, whatever the pleasure is, he'll enjoy a life because he's more alive. He's a living being. He's a more sensitive being. And Mimeda, he's able not only to do more mitzvahs, but even to be able, even what we're saying about even enjoying Odom Hazeh much more because he's a live person.